Welcome to this Security Talk series presentation. In this session, we're going to look at the Windows Azure platform from a security technical decision maker perspective. We will cover the most common questions that are relevant to a technical decision maker regarding the security controls that Windows Azure platform uses to protect customers, applications, and its data. The purpose of this session is to delve deeper into the security concerns of the Azure platform from a management to identity point of view. We shall identify the common threats against Azure and how Azure mitigates itself against them. The cloud model takes us away from the traditional data center within our businesses. Rather than building out server racks ourselves, we can leverage the services in a utility-like fashion similar to an electricity company. The cloud allows us to buy more computes or storage as we need it. And just importantly, as demand drops, we can scale back, reducing our costs. This is a very different approach to our traditional data center, where your business must invest a large amount of capital to build the initial data center before even placing our application upon it. This pay-as-you-grow model brings great business benefits in reducing the cost of running your business and getting away from the hassle of running a complex data center, which is not typically the key function to your business. Cloud services enable your business to bring applications to the market very quickly. We are talking weeks rather than months, since we do not have to design and implement and manage the complex server architectures that we're so used to. In our on-premise world, we are used to controlling all aspects of security within our data centers. We fully understand in this model where our data is being stored, how the firewalls are configured, what encryption we use on our data or our transports, if our servers are hardened, what the servers are connected to, and what the policies and controls are that are being enforced to adhere to a security in depth model. We know who our data center administrators are and what the delegation model is to access different resources. We can control if third parties can access our data centers or even what employees can gain physical access to the systems, all of which is controlled by us, our business, not typically a third party we've never even met. When moving to the cloud, this responsibility shifts to the cloud provider. Now we do not have full control of the full stack. We can only control the data and application, and Microsoft, in the Azure case, has full access to the entire stack. With our application and the data in the Microsoft cloud, we now need assurances from Microsoft that the correct due diligence is being applied. That our data is safe from Microsoft administrators and other customers. In the next few slides, we will cover how Microsoft provides these assurances. If we read the current press, such as the excellent British magazine The Economist, the main issue delaying the adoption of the cloud is by far the fear of security. Just as mentioned in the previous slide, it's that lack of control and transparency that is concerning people. Essentially, decision makers in organisations need to understand and assess the security, privacy and regulatory risks for each potential use of a cloud service. They need to make an informed decision before considering adopting their cloud platform. The Gartner Group itself lists some common questions that people should consider. Where is my data hosted? Does the provider commit to storing and processing the data in a specific country? And does that jurisdiction comply with my privacy requirements? Is the cloud service provider secure? Does it implement the security controls required by industry standard best practices, such as ISO 27001, for example? Who can see my data? Does the service provider ensure that its employees and contractors will not bypass the security controls and compromise the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the data, intentionally or not? How can I make sure the service provider is following the laws and regulations that I need to abide by? Can the compliance process be followed by service providers, and can it be verified by third parties? And what happens if the service provider goes out of business, for example? Does it have long-term viability? Can I get my data back if things go wrong? These are the kind of questions that we need to start asking. The Windows Azure platform is hosted in the Microsoft data centers around the world. Windows Azure provides compute power, storage, and automated service management, as well as easy connectivity to other applications and access control to provide secure authorization and authentication of access to cloud resources. This includes applications running on Windows Azure, Windows Server, and a number of other platforms, including Java, Ruby, PHP, and others. Also hosted in Microsoft data centers is SQL Azure, providing relational database services and automated management. SQL Azure can help reduce costs by integrating with existing tool sets and providing symmetry with on-premise and cloud databases. Very briefly, the other functions are Windows Azure Compute, which provides the runtime execution environment for customer code. We have the Windows Azure Storage, which provides persistent, durable storage in the cloud. Windows Azure Connect, which provides a simple and easy to manage mechanism to set up IP-based network connectivity between on-premise and Windows Azure resources, and Windows Azure Content Delivery Network, which can enhance end-user performance and reliability by placing copies of data closer to users. SQL Azure is a highly available and scalable multi-tenanted relational database service hosted in the cloud. And the Windows Azure App Fabric service provides a comprehensive cloud middleware level to develop, deploy, and to manage business applications with connectivity and access control functionality. Windows Azure Compute Services is a collection of virtual machines providing compute resources. This collection of virtual machines is known as the Fabric. Now, the Fabric is managed by the Fabric Controller, which monitors and manages every virtual machine. It starts them, it stops them, and it restarts virtual machines as necessary. A Windows Azure application is called a hosted service and is built from one or more roles. A role defines a component that may run in the execution environment. Now, within Windows Azure, a service may run one or more instances of a role. Windows Azure supports three types of roles in total: a web role customized for web application programming and supported by IIS 7 and ASP.NET, a worker role which is used for generalized development or long-running code, and a VM role that runs a customized image of Windows Server 2008 R2. Based on the number of role instances specified by customers, Windows Azure creates a virtual machine for each role instance and then runs the role in those VMs. The process of provisioning and maintaining these virtual machines is performed by the Fabric Controller, an internal system that manages all compute and storage resources, deploys new services, monitors the health of each deployed service, and when a service fails, the Fabric Controller provisions the necessary resources and redeploys the service as required. Every application can logically be divided up into parts. Windows Azure formalizes these divisions into roles that we have previously mentioned: the web role, the worker role, and the VM role. And these are defined within a service model. The web role is hosted on IIS and is used to run purely web applications. The worker role is used to run applications, but is not limited to just .NET applications. The VM role actually runs an image, literally a virtual hard disk. It's a virtual hard disk of a Windows Server 2008 machine. And the VHD is actually created on-premise using Windows Server itself, and it is then uploaded to Windows Azure. Developers can configure and maintain the OS and use Windows services, schedule tasks, etc., etc. in the VM role. Now, a developer can use web role instances, worker role instances, and VM role instances, and even a combination of all three, to create a Windows Azure application. If the application's load increases, the developer can use Windows Azure Portal to request more web role instances, or worker role instances, or VM, or all three. If the load decreases, the number of running instances can be reduced. And to shut down the application completely, the developer can simply shut down all of the application's roles instances. Now, for storage, on a compute instance, the data isn't persisted. However, when the instance is shut down, the VM and its local storage may go away. Yet applications commonly need persistent storage that holds on to information even when they're not running. Meeting this goal is the purpose of the Windows Azure Storage Service, which will be described shortly. But just note, when an instance is shut down, It is possible that some local storage information may persist. Yet applications should not continue to rely on this information being present after every instant shutdown, and persistent data should be kept within the Windows Azure Storage Service or another storage persistent system. Virtualization is one of the driving technologies behind the ability of cloud services to scale up and down quickly relative to need. Virtualization also requires thoughtful management, as formerly hard security boundaries between systems become virtualized and thus potentially subject to new attack vectors. Every application can be logically divided up into parts. Windows Azure formalizes these divisions into roles, with the web role, the worker role, and the VM role, and they are defined within a service model. The web role is hosted on IIS and is used to run web applications. The worker role is used to run applications but not limited to .NET applications. The VM role uses a virtual hard disk of a Windows 2008 R2 virtual machine. This VHD is actually created on-premise using a Windows server and then uploaded to Windows Azure, and developers can configure and maintain the OS and use Windows services and schedule tasks, etc. in that role. In Windows Azure Compute Services, a computing node can be configured to have one of the above roles that we have talked about, depending upon the purpose of it, and each node run inside its own virtual machine. Each virtual machine has 1, 2, 4, or 8 virtual CPUs, and is allocated up to 14 gigabytes of memory. The VMs run a special version of Windows 2008 or Windows Server 2008 R2 that has specific server OS software installed, IIS or .NET Framework, etc., depending on its role, and it also has a very limited number of device drivers. There is no long-lasting storage on individual compute nodes. Data is written to local disks. It is not guaranteed to be persisted across the instantiation or deinstantiation of the virtual machines. Any data that requires durability must be stored in one of the Windows Azure storage services. Windows Firewall is enabled on each VM. The only ports open and addressable, internally or externally, on a Windows Azure VM are those explicitly defined in the service definition file configured by the customer. Windows Azure uses its own hypervisor, a virtualization layer developed by Microsoft that is built on top of lessons learned from our Hyper-V product. It runs directly over the hardware and divides a node into a variable number of virtual machines. Each node also has a root virtual machine, which runs the host operating system on the hypervisor control systems. Azure uses a stripped-down version of Windows Server that includes only those components necessary to host the VM, like the Fabric Controller Agent. This is done both to improve performance and to reduce the attack surface. A critical boundary is the isolation of the root VM from the guest VMs and the guest VMs from one another, managed by the hypervisor and the root OS. The hypervisor root OS pairing leverages Microsoft's decades of operating system security experience, as well as the more recent learnings from the Microsoft Hyper-V product, to provide strong isolation of guest VMs. All access to network and disk by the VMs is mediated by the root OS. The hypervisor's virtual network switch filters filter all network traffic from and to the virtual machines, and also prevent sniffer-based attacks against other VMs on the same physical host. Additional filters are placed to block broadcast and multicast traffic, with the exception of what is needed to maintain DCHP leases. The foundation for keeping different data and code appropriately segregated is virtualization. The critical boundary is the isolation of the root VM from the guest VMs and the guest VMs from one another, managed by the hypervisor and the root OS. The hypervisor root OS pairing leverages Microsoft's decades of operating system security experience, as well as more recent learnings from the Microsoft Hyper-V product, to provide strong isolation of guest VMs. From a security perspective, the guest VMs, and particularly the Fabric agent running inside them, are considered to be untrusted by the Windows Azure infrastructure, while the host OS and the Fabric controller are considered to be trusted. It is thus critical that a strong security boundary is enforced between the guest VM's running customer code and the trusted infrastructure. The hypervisor and the RootOS provide network packet filters that assure that the untrusted VMs cannot generate spoof traffic, cannot receive traffic not addressed to them, and cannot direct traffic to protected infrastructure endpoints, and cannot send or receive inappropriate broadcast traffic. Connections between role instances of different applications are considered to be the internet connections, and traffic between all applications are only between the public internet addresses. As the central orchestrator of the Windows Azure Fabric, it has significant controls in place to mitigate threats to the Fabric controllers, especially from potential compromised Fabric agents within the customer applications. The Fabric controller strongly passes all communications from the Fabric agents as though they were untrusted communications. In addition, the Fabric controllers and devices incapable of implementing SSL are on separate VLANs, which limits the exposure of their authentication interfaces to a compromised node that hosts VMs. The infrastructure of each Windows Azure data center is notionally divided into multiple sections known as fault domains. These sections of the infrastructure, which are not necessarily individual servers or racks, are designed in such a way that a failure of one fault domain is extremely unlikely to affect any other fault domain. When you deploy a service for additional reliability, the Fabric controller automatically locates the roles in at least two different fault domains, so that a failure in one fault domain will not affect all instances of your service. So Azure's storage services provides four main services for persisting data, and that's blobs, tables, queues, and drives, and we'll go into detail in the next slide. But essentially, customers also have the option to use services such as MySQL database running within an Azure worker role. And we have guidance for that on the internet under the Windows Azure MySQL PHP Solution Accelerator. Or, as we'll go into great detail soon, is the Microsoft SQL Azure service, which is obviously the preferred service, and this is a cloud-based relational database built on SQL Server technologies. So within Azure storage, we have blobs that can be used to store any binary information. This can be pictures that are used in a website, it can be Office or PDF documents, audio files or video files. And applications can also use blobs to create their own data storage and access methods. Now, blobs are just right for some situations, but they are too unstructured for others. To let applications work with data in a more fine-grained way, Windows Azure storage provides tables. Now, let's not be misled by the name. These are not relational tables. In fact, even though they're called tables, the data they hold is actually stored in a simple hierarchy of entities that contain properties. And rather than using SQL, the application accesses a table data using conventions defined by ADO.NET Data Services. The reason for this approach is that it allows scale-out storage, scaling by spreading data across many machines, which is much more efficient than we would use with a standard relational database. In fact, a single Windows Azure table can contain billions of entities holding terabytes of data. Blobs and tables are both focused on storing and accessing data. The third option in Windows Azure storage is queues, which has quite different purpose. A primary function of the queues is to provide a way for web role instances to communicate with worker role instances, for example. A user might submit a request to perform some compute-intensive task via the web page implemented by Windows Azure web role. The web role instance that receives this request can write the message into a queue describing the work to be done. The worker role instance that is then waiting on this queue can read that message, carry out the task it specifies. Any results can then be returned via another queue or handled in some other way. Windows Azure drives are the latest addition to the Windows Azure storage service. They provide what appears to be a web or a worker role to be persistent like a local drive, just as you would see from a typical server application. Within each Azure subscription, a developer can create multiple storage accounts. Each account has two shared access keys generated for it. These keys must be kept secret and you should protect them just like any other high privilege password. You're given two keys to allow for key rollover because it is recommended that you regenerate these keys on a regular basis, just like you would change your password every N days, for example. Both keys have the same level of access to your data, but you typically use the primary key in your service configuration file. And when the key needs to be changed, you simply replace the key in the service configuration file and regenerate the primary key. Essentially, that deletes it. This can all be performed, of course, via the Windows Azure portal or programmatically using the service management APIs. All communications for this should also be done over SSL when dealing with keys. Another important feature to note when creating storage accounts is the choice you're given about the location of your data. Although this is not extensive at the moment, you can choose to store your data in either the US, Europe, or Asia, and this at the time of this recording, of course. And this may be important to you due to your country's privacy laws. Data is replicated within Windows Azure Storage Service to three separate nodes within the Azure Fabric to minimize the impact of a hardware failure. In case of a physical failure affecting one or even two nodes, data is still available from the third one. Customers of Windows Azure can also write customized applications running on Windows Azure compute nodes to extract data from Windows Azure Storage for off-site backups. Note that Windows Azure Storage Subsystem makes customer data unavailable once delete operations are called. All storage operations, including delete, are designed to be instantly consistent. Successful execution of a delete operation removes all references to the associated data item, and it cannot be accessed via the storage APIs. All copies of the deleted data item are then garbage collected. The physical bits will be overwritten when the associated storage block is reused for storing other data. The SQL Azure Database is a cloud-based relational database service built on SQL Server technologies. It provides a highly available, scalable, multi-tenant database service hosted by Microsoft in the cloud. The SQL Azure Database makes it easy to provision to deploy multiple databases, so developers do not have to worry about installation, setup, patching, or managing any of the software. High availability and fault tolerance are built in by default, and there's no physical administration required. The SQL Azure Database supports the same Transact SQL supported by the on-premise version of Microsoft SQL Server, and customers can use existing knowledge of T-SQL in development and familiar relational database modeling for symmetry with on-premise databases, including support for stored procedures, views, indexes, and other SQL Server features. SQL Azure Database can also help reduce costs by integrating with existing tool sets and providing symmetry with on-premise and cloud databases. SQL Azure supports access using managed ADO.NET classes, native ODBC and PHP, etc. And the release of SQL Server 2008 R2 adds client tool support for SQL Azure, including adding support through the SQL Server Management Studio. Additionally, SQL Server 2008 R2 and SQL Server Express have full support for SQL Azure, and that's in terms of seamless connectivity in view and objects in the Object Explorer, and much more. On this slide, we are comparing the two products, Microsoft SQL Server and Microsoft SQL Azure. As just discussed, Microsoft SQL Server supports Windows integrated authentication using Active Directory credentials for user logon, whereas SQL Azure Database supports only the SQL authentication and does not support Windows authentication. Both Microsoft SQL Server and SQL Azure use the same authorization model for users and roles created in the database. Microsoft SQL Server has a fixed server-wide roles such as server admin, security admin, and DB creator. These roles do not exist in SQL Azure. Instead, SQL Azure has the login manager role for creating logons and DB manager role for creating and managing databases. Access to both SQL Server and SQL Azure happens on the wire using the same tabular data stream, TDS application layer protocol, protected using Secure Sockets Layer over port 1433. Use of SSL is optional for Microsoft SQL Server, but it is mandatory for SQL Azure. In SQL Server, any IP address-based access control needs to be done at the host or network level, using a host firewall or a network firewall. SQL Azure has a built-in firewall that prevents all access to your SQL Azure server until the customer specifies which computers have permissions. The firewall grants access based on the originating IP address of each request. Critically, SQL Server provides real-time encryption of stored data at the page level using its transparent data encryption feature. Native encryption is currently not available in SQL Azure. SQL Azure uses the concept of a server. However, a SQL Azure server isn't the same as a server in an on-premise SQL Server installation. In an on-premise SQL Server installation, a server is synonymous with a machine, which has a fixed set of resources, storage, and hence can hold a limited number of databases. With SQL Azure, a server is an endpoint that receives client database connections. Each of those databases is created under that server and are spread across multiple machines in the data center. A server in SQL Azure has unlimited capacity to hold additional databases, and it has full resources of the data center. In other words, there is no way for your SQL Azure server to run out of resources. Another way to think about it is that if you don't have to create new servers in a data center in order to distribute your database load, SQL Azure does it for you automatically. SQL Azure is designed to keep your data accessible across many different kinds of downtime events, like hardware failures or power loss. A single SQL Azure server doesn't mean a single point of failure. The endpoints are serviced by multiple redundant SQL Azure front-end servers. On the back end, SQL Azure always keeps three replicas running to protect your data in the event of a failover. One replica is considered the primary replica. All the read and write queries go to this replica. The other two replicas are considered secondary, and any data written to the primary replica is also written to the secondary replicas. If the primary replica fails or needs to be cycled for updates, or there is any load balancing operation, then a secondary replica is simply promoted to the primary. Windows Azure App Fabric provides secure connectivity and access control for customers with the need to integrate cloud services with on-premise systems such as AD to perform business-to-business integration or to connect to remote devices. The Access Control Service provides federated claim-based access control for web services. Developers can use these services to build distributed or composite applications. By supporting industry standards like WS Federation and SAML 2.0, Access Control 2.0 provides an easy way to control access to web services and while integrating with standards-based identity providers, including Active Directory and other popular web identity providers, including Windows Live ID, Google, Yahoo, and Facebook, for example. On the application side, Azure integrates with Windows Identity Foundation Framework, WIF, so developers can build applications that can be hosted on-premise and on the cloud without changes. The App Fabric Access Control Service, or ACS for short, simplifies access for web applications and web services by reducing the cost and complexity of integrating with various customer identity technologies. Instead of having to address different customer technologies, applications can simply leverage the App Fabric ACS, integrating with all identity models and technologies that App Fabric supports through a simple provisioning process and through a REST-based management API. Now, the current version of App Fabric ACS 1.0 provides support for only REST web services. The next release of ACS 2.0 will expand the features of ACS significantly, allowing you to integrate single sign-on and centralized authorization also for web applications and SOAP web-based services. The highlights of ACS 2 are as follows. Broad identity provider support, allowing developers to build applications and services that will accept both enterprise identities through the integration of Active Directory Federation Services 2.0 and a broad range of web identities through the support of Windows Live ID, OpenID, Google, Yahoo, and even Facebook, and using a single code base, still supporting WS Trust and WS Federation, and full integration of Windows Identity Foundation, or WIF, Developers can apply the familiar WIF identity programmer model and tooling for cloud applications and services. A new management web portal is available, giving simple, complete, and control over all access control settings. This release will make it easier for developers to support a broad range of security and access scenarios, and Microsoft believes it is a major step forward towards the goal of supporting any identity in any application. It also extends the value that customers get when they use cloud applications together with a full on-premise identity technology stack, including ADFS 2.0 and WIF. This version is currently in test in the Windows Azure Lambda environment, available at http://appfabriclabs.com. Windows Azure Connect is a new Windows Azure service currently in CTP that allows secure network communications for Windows Azure roles. With Windows Azure Connect, you can use a simple user interface to configure IPsec protected connections between computers or virtual machines in your organization's network and roles running in Windows Azure. After you configure these connections, role instances in Windows Azure use IP addresses like that of your other networked resources, rather than having to use some form of external virtual IP addressing. Windows Azure Connect makes it easier to do tasks such as the following. You can configure and use a distributed application that uses roles in Windows Azure, like a web role, together with services in your organization's network, such as your SQL Server. The distributed application could be one that you're networking to include not only resources in your network, but also one or more Azure roles, such as a web role. Many combinations are possible between Windows Azure roles, such as web roles, worker roles, or VM roles, and your networked resources, including servers or VMs, or print or email or database access, etc. Your network resources can also include legacy systems that are supported by your distributed application. You can remotely administer and debug Windows Azure role instances. You can easily manage Windows Azure role instances using external management tools in your network, such as Systems Operations Manager, or running scripts such as PowerShell. You can join Windows Azure role instances to your domain so that you can use your existing methods for domain authentication, name resolution, or other domain-wide maintenance actions. Windows Azure Connect's primary scenario is enabling IP-level network connectivity between Azure services and external resources. The underlying connectivity model that supports this is quite flexible. For example, you can use Connect to set up networking between arbitrary groups of machines that are distributed across the internet in a very controlled and secure manner. Windows Azure Connect creates a logical virtual network which can contain two types of entities: Windows Azure roles and machine groups. Windows Azure roles can be enabled for Connect. All the VM instances for a role are then joined to Connect. The admin cannot manually add or remove individual instances. Connect automatically manages the activation of Connect in a specific instance. If you add or remove a role instance, Connect will track this and update the network membership appropriately. Machine groups are admin-defined collections of external machines which have been enabled for Connect through installation of the Windows Azure Connect agent. An external machine can belong to at most one machine group. A role can then be linked to a machine group, enabling connectivity between the members of those groups. A role can be linked to multiple machine groups, and machine groups can also be linked to other machine groups. All traffic is tunneled through a hosted relay service, which ensures that connectivity is available regardless of firewalls and NAT devices in that environment. All Windows Azure Connect traffic uses the IPv6 protocol encapsulated within IPv4. Every connected machine gets a routable IPv6 address from the relay and uses it for Connect traffic, with no impact on existing network configurations. The machine is simply joined to an additional network and can use the IPv6 interface to communicate with the linked role groups and machine groups. A tunnel is then established between the Connect-enabled machine and a relay using IP4, so no changes or upgrades to the existing network infrastructure are required. The security of the solution is provided by the use of IPsec. Windows Azure Connect deploys an IPsec policy that secures the traffic end-to-end with strong encryption and authenticates the remote peers using digital certificates. Windows Azure provides a REST API for managing your services and deployments. The Service Management API provides programmatic access to much of the functionality available through the Windows Azure portal. Using the Service Management API, you can manage your storage accounts and hosted services, your service deployments and your affinity groups. A diagnostic API is also provided for service monitoring, tracing and debugging. The management service may be accessed within a service running Windows Azure or directly over the internet from any application that can send a HTTPS request or receive a HTTPS response. Microsoft provides a set of PowerShell commandlets wrapping the Windows Azure Service Management API and Diagnostics API, which makes it very simple to script out your deployments, upgrades, and scaling out of your Windows Azure applications, as well as set and manage your diagnostic configurations. Microsoft also provides a Windows Azure Management Pack for System Center Operations Manager, allowing you to monitor Windows Azure services using the same management infrastructure used for on-premise servers. With this management pack, SCOM can discover Windows Azure applications and provide statuses of each role instance while collecting events and performance information. In its latest release, Windows Azure is introducing support for the logon role instances using Remote Desktop. Service administrators can connect directly to the VMs and perform management tasks or troubleshoot applications using the same familiar toolset they use for their on-premise servers. Customers manage applications and storage through a subscription. A subscription is created typically by associating a new or existing credential with a credit card number on a subscription portal website. Subsequent access to the subscription is controlled via the Windows Live ID. Windows Live ID is one of the longest running internet authentication services available and thus provides a rigorously tested gatekeeper for Windows Azure. Multiple Live ID accounts can be used for sharing the management of roles across a team. Customers can upload developed applications and manage their hosted services and storage accounts through the Windows Azure portal website or programmatically through the Services Management API, known as SMAPI. SMAPI authentication is based on a user-generated public-private key pair and a self-signed certificate registered through the Windows Azure portal. The certificate is used to authenticate subsequent accesses to SMAPI. SMAPI queries requests to the Windows Azure fabric, which it then provisions, initializes, and manages the required application. Customers can monitor and manage their applications via the portal or programmatically through this MAPI API. When a customer updates their application configuration file, the fabric controller communicates with the compute and store nodes and notifies the application of the configuration changes. In the event of a hardware failure, the fabric controller will automatically find available hardware and restart the VM there. To increase the security of the Windows Azure Fabric, Fabric controllers are run in separate nodes than the compute or storage services. All communications between Windows Azure internal components are protected with SSL. Fabric controllers have their certificates issued by a Microsoft CA that chains back to a trusted root CA. This allows the Fabric controller public keys to be rolled over very easily. Additionally, the Fabric controller public keys are used by Microsoft developer tools so that when developers submit new application images, they are encrypted with the FC public key in order to protect any embedded secrets. In addition to the application keys, the Fabric controller must maintain a set of credentials used to authenticate itself to various hardware devices under its control. The system used for transporting, persisting, and using these credentials is designed to make it unnecessary for Windows Azure developers, administrators, and backup service personnel to be exposed to the secret information.
Customers must be assured that Microsoft data centers are operated to the highest standards. Within Microsoft, the operational services, security, and compliance team works across the operations, product, and service delivery teams and with internal and external auditors to ensure compliance with the relevant security industry standards and regulatory obligations. The physical security of all Microsoft data centers is an example of the operational security that the operations teams manages. Policies define the access controls applied to inner and outer perimeters, for example, the levels of automated monitoring applied at the data centers, and the security incident notification procedures that are in force. Microsoft specifies the security requirements upon which data center employees and contractors are reviewed, in addition to contractual stipulations about the site staff. The operations services policies define a further layer of security within the data center for personnel who operate the facility. Access is restricted by applying a least privilege policy so that only essential personnel are authorized to manage services. As a result of implementing this framework, Microsoft's cloud infrastructure has gained SAS 70 Type 2 qualification and the ISO 27001-2005 certification as well. Now, the ISO 27001-2005 certification validates that Microsoft has implemented the internationally recognized information security controls defined in this standard. The SAS 70 qualification illustrates Microsoft's willingness to open up its internal security programs to outside scrutiny. SAS 70 is an auditing standard designed by the American Institute of Certified Practice Accountants to enable an independent auditor to evaluate and issue an opinion on what the service provider controls have been adhered to, and that's exactly what Microsoft does today. Data in Windows Azure is stored in the Microsoft data centers around the world based on the geolocation properties that the customer has specified in the Windows Azure portal when creating storage accounts, for example. These locations are currently America, Europe, and Asia, as shown. The law of data location is an important point here. Microsoft is a signatory to Safe Harbor and will fulfill all of its obligations under the Safe Harbor framework. A common question is how will Microsoft handle the Safe Harbor's access principle that would require Microsoft to provide access to the individuals whose information is held within Azure. In the context of Windows Azure, Microsoft is the data processor for the purposes of the EU data protection law, and we will act on behalf of our customers who are the data controllers, and we direct the EU data subjects to our customers for satisfaction of some, if not all, of the data subject rights. To address these concerns, Microsoft implements a defense in depth model within the Azure and its data centers. In the previous slides, we have discussed many of these layers of security, and here we will just recap briefly. At the data layer, access to the data stored in Azure is controlled using strong access keys that are provisioned to the customer when signing up for a storage account. We also have SQL Azure, as discussed in detail. At the application layer, Azure developers have the choice to run their front-end code under the default setting of partial trust, a sandbox that blocks access to native code components and helps ensure the integrity of the platform. At the host level, Azure virtual machines run with a special version of Windows 2008 stripped down of all the necessary components to reduce the attack surface and the patch management requirements. Virtual machine boundaries are enforced by an underlying hardened hypervisor and do not depend on the security of the VM in Windows operating system. At the network level, all traffic to and from virtual machines are filtered according to the policy defined by the customer and enforced by a firewall on the virtual machine, as well as a firewall run on the host root system. Microsoft also deploys VLANs and packet filters to segregate network access between customers, management systems, and the internet, and uses a special devices to protect its infrastructure against distributed denial of service attacks as well. At the physical layer, Microsoft runs Azure in its own data centers, which implement world-class security controls, whose security controls and information security management systems have been certified under the international ISO 27001-2005 standard, and has also been SAS 70 Type 2 accredited. Development groups within Microsoft use the security development lifecycle to pragmatically address the security threats that may be inherent in their software products. The security development lifecycle is a set of processes and tools designed to reduce the number and the severity of vulnerabilities in software products. It encompasses education of developers, program managers, and architects in the secure development practices. It enforces accountability of individuals and product teams for building consistently more secure software. The SDL applies to all Microsoft software, including online services such as Azure. And essentially, SDL attempts to address security threats throughout the development process by using tools such as threat modeling during the design process, by following development best practices, by adhering to code security standards during coding, and by requiring various tools for testing and verification before deployment. These proactive checks during development make software less vulnerable to potential threats after release, and the SDL provides a structured and consistent methodology with which to apply them. These methodologies, which are supported by an executive commitment to security in Microsoft, have helped Microsoft develop highly secure quality software. Any customers developing Azure applications should also follow the SDL when writing software and read the SDL guidance at www.microsoft.com/SDL. Some customers will just not be happy having Microsoft host their cloud applications. In this case, it will be possible for a customer to buy the Windows Azure appliance via a selected Microsoft partner. This appliance, which is more like a complete container than a device, will provide the same functionality as the Windows Azure platform, including Windows Azure and SQL Azure, etc. Using such an appliance, it will enable some customers to meet their own policy requirements or government security requirements about keeping data within the country's borders or other government regulations. The appliance is really only focused at those very large customers, since it is likely to contain thousands of servers, not hundreds. It is important to note that the appliance currently is still managed by Microsoft and is not completely isolated, and this may change in the future. This brings us to the end of this technical overview of the Windows Azure platform from a security perspective. On the slide are several resources you can go to find out more information. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope you enjoyed this presentation.
Check out the Windows Azure subscription options at http://bit.ly/try Windows Azure to find one that works for your business needs.